Welcome to another episode of Rolling Imperfection, the podcast for players and game masters to design perfect characters through imperfection. We cover all forms of game design, from interesting and engaging backstory creation to campaign and NPC development. Enjoy, remember to play what you love, and may your characters do something epic.
Welcome back to Rolling Imperfection, the podcast to make your story-driven campaigns better. I'm Kevin.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Monster.
Wait, what? He got in again.
Yeah, Steve. You left that window open. I climbed in.
Ta-da! Is this like a Monster Hunter game where, like, now you cue the Zenogre music?
Oh, man, that'd be sick. Can you do that?
No.
No legal reasons, no.
That's probably copyrighted.
I wish I could.
Actually, I think video game music might be okay because of like Let's Plays or something, but I don't know. We don't want to chance it.
It's unfortunately not. No.
Just give me like 15 seconds like that. Like that high rise. Anyway.
That's true. It's true.
What's popping, gamers?
Well, we thought since, a few episodes ago, by a few episodes, I mean on like our skewed timeline of Steve and I think episodes from 20 episodes ago are like current. But they're not.
You sweet summer children. I love you.
Yes. We mentioned like character adaptation and like stuff like that. Like, you know, just at the start of the season. Episode 109, only 20 episodes ago.
You do casually like you do.
And during that episode, it was brought up that my way is not the only way, to which I still deny, you know. I'm willing to hear evidence, but, you know, press X to doubt.
The hubris of this man. Calm down, Dr. Doom. Jeez.
I know. Monster also knows that I totally played up for the podcast. I'm only slightly less. Oh, thank you. Steve, in fact, just entered X into combo. We were talking and figured other people might have different ideas for how to design a character. How weird.
What are the odds
of
that?
I thought we could all get together and bounce some ideas off each other, just talk it over, just let the dear listeners know what we're thinking about when we're going through making a character. So,
apple pie.
That sounds like a wholesome character.
Actually, it kind of does, doesn't it? Wait, yeah. Is a character like a human representation of like an apple pie, or is it that they bake apple pies, or both?
Just kidding.
I just heard you say you wanted to make Setsu 4, so that's all I heard. I don't know.
No, I can't play that character. That's like the character that you were trying to play that you can't play.
Oh, no, that's not
true.
Well,
no, I successfully played Setsu 1. Never mind.
Yeah, Setsu 1 got all the way through a campaign.
Yeah.
All right. That is way more than any of my sorcerers have ever gotten to.
That's true.
Maybe if you took Fireball, you wouldn't have a problem.
Yeah, we have Monster here. Monster's the one who allowed my sorcerer, not the sorcerer I usually try to play, but at least a sorcerer to like get far enough, you know?
Yep. Oh, man. If we ever get back to that, we go back to that campaign setting. The characters that you made would, I don't want to say they'd end up being villains, but they might be like anti-heroes. And you would have a very powerful sorcerer that you could do some stuff with. Though, I don't know what your character would do. Because I feel like...
Retire.
Yeah, I feel like your character was probably like the one who would do potentially like the least. They'd be like, nah, F this. I'm going to go hang out with my parents and make sure I'm safe on the countryside.
Yeah, I'm just going to take my parents and boyfriend and
yes.
Fuck off.
Yep.
I'm going to go make a countryside band. I don't know. I feel like he might go to stop, like, maybe not all of the others, but some of the others.
That'd be so sick. Oh, man. God.
Like, he'd show up and he'd just be like, oh, God damn it.
Yep. Like, I feel like Entrong's character would also probably be, like, not antagonistic to a degree. He would also just sort of be like, I don't know about this. Maybe I'll just get out of Dodge. Maybe I'll help your... what's your character's name?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm blanking on pretty much everybody's name except for, I think it was Nyx, which was like Maxwell. I'm like, because he was playing an M character.
Yeah.
D&D.
A
Beyond.
Interpretation, yeah. Oh, there we go. Oh, yeah, we still in there?
Campaign. Dragon Riders. Riders. Kyrian was me.
Kyrian, that's it.
Kyrian, Maxwell, mm-hmm. Rayharm.
Yep.
And Roar. There we go.
Good old Roar, the King of Feathers.
Ah, that's right. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roar, welcome if this is your first episode.
Yeah, I was just saying, welcome to the party. This might end up being just a just chatting, but probably not, because we're talking about character creation and sort of like the various mindsets and what inspires you to sort of go that route for that character.
So we've made a few characters, all of us. Only a few.
Hold on. We're on D&D Beyond. Let me see.
Rows?
I have 18 rows of characters on D&D Beyond. D&D alone. I haven't played them all, but they're there.
I just want to reiterate, rows? Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I have 3 rows.
Like, dang.
I'm sure Monster would have like 20 rows as well if you could sit there and brew characters all day.
Yeah, I would say if I had a paid subscription, which I considered doing, and then we probably shouldn't get into this, but recent events have made me not want to get one. And we'll just leave it at that.
That's fair. My I would like to note that my subscription is up in October. We shall see.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway. Timeless episodes, everyone. That's not it. Yes. That's never true. But we have some timeless episodes. So I wanted to...
tell everybody to go listen to the Noir episode?
That's true. Monster. Monster came in and just dove into my heart by mentioning that first thing before record. He's like, I did want to mention that. Yeah. So Monster, tell everyone the episode that they should all listen to.
The Noir episode, which I totally have pulled up and I know the exact number. What's the number? Shit, help me out, guys.
Oh, hang on.
Spotify is being fucky wucky for me, so otherwise no, I would have had it in front of me.
I will go. It is episode 122.
Oh, okay. Episode 122. Go listen to that shit. Do yourself a favor. That was one of my favorite games that I've played with these two lovely chrubs or individuals, whichever you want to be recognized as. Just chef's kiss. The setting, the characters, the villains, just everything about it.
And it's true. We're still halfway through the sequel. A little messier.
A little messier, yes. So I don't want to say it's because we added a fourth player, but maybe.
Not entirely. I
definitely don't think that's the case.
No, I can't let that fly. It's a game I've planned less, and it worked really well for the first one.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worked as hot for the second one. Not that I think the game is like unsalvageable. In fact, I think
far from it.
I'm gonna get back. It's gonna be very. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be a more focused game. Let's say.
Honestly, that might have been because we made a little bit more complex characters.
No.
I feel like I was just like a detective before, but now I'm like an ex-criminal. Like I work for the government, and I'm a like shifter. Dude, so like I have a lot more going on, it feels like, than I'm a poor detective who really wants his answering machine back.
Well, I mean, fair. To go into our topic with that, I don't think that your detective and your shapeshifter
con man thief
I don't think that running either of those characters should have been materially different. I did go in with a little bit more of the I'm gonna call it the neo-noir mindset. And I probably shouldn't have. Neo-noirs are a lot messier than a lot of the classic noirs. Not that classic noirs don't have ones where you're like, get to the end and are like, that didn't make any sense.
I will say that this one does feel messier. That is for sure.
Yeah. When we took our last hiatus, I was in the process of pulling things back in. But like for that game, I definitely think the reason why your character was that way is because I put out like, okay, we're doing Silent Spiral 2 and I want to do like a, you know, I want to see if anyone was up for a Treasury Agent game and like 3 players bit.
Yep.
So I definitely think that my instructions may have been like a little too clear, a little too directed. So I don't know if either of you wanted to speak to creating characters in that sense. But
Steve, you want to go first or will I? Because I have a few things to say.
Go ahead.
Okay. With the character that I made, I didn't want to be essentially like a government agent, but I did want to be a character who is beholden essentially to this government agency. And I also, this is terrible, but I also wanted to see if I could make a character that doesn't use weapons, so but was still like mechanically sound. So I had basically, those were the two things on my plate, which I made a meal with. Steve's Cooking Show, let's go.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Kevin and Steve's Cooking Show.
Oh, Kevin
show.
And
just
Steve's Cooking
Show. Just because I can only make charcoal doesn't mean I'm not in the title.
Just because you microwave
no,
that
yeah,
water
it's
till it's
a cooking
fire.
Show where I try and cook something and then Kevin tries to sabotage it.
Yeah, I do my best to make the meal inedible.
Steve shows up with two pieces of bread, puts Kevin's head between them, be like, what are you? And Kevin cries a little bit. An idiot sandwich. Oh. But no. Anyway, but yeah, when I was making that character, I was like, okay, so I'm going to be a woman in, ooh, the 1940s. Not great.
1948.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm going to have to, again, like, this is like fantasy 1948 to a degree, so there will be some consignments to be like, all right, it's not going to be that terrible for
I don't want it to be miserable for my players.
Thank you. But at the same time, I had to sort of get myself into that kind of mindset. And when I was making the character, I had to be like, okay, they can't just be like this crazy badass who has punched their way through a gang or something. I'm going to be like, okay, what would this character be like in a noir setting? Okay, here's what I got. And yeah.
And what did you base your idea of a noir setting on?
Oh man, shoot. I can't remember which movie that one was, but there was the one where, wasn't she essentially like the guy's secretary?
Phantom Lady, Robert Siodmak, great film.
Like, I remember he showed us that
the
one, like
secretary.
Yeah, like she wasn't like super hard boiled or like a crazy badass, but she was like persistent and just like played her cards right. And I just really loved that. I was like, oh, okay, wow. A badass female character in like a movie from the black and white era? Jeez, wow, what are the odds of that?
I mean,
Kevin,
low, but I have a list.
Hey, hell yeah. But yeah, so that was kind of like the mindset I had to get into. Be like, okay, so I can't be like, all right, just I'm going to jump in and just punch my way to the top like my previous character was, because they were like a big war veteran who was also like a boxer. It'd be like, oh, okay. Yeah, they can pretty much do whatever they want. So I had to sort of tailor the character a little bit, like rein them in. And yeah. I would say Rusty turned out pretty good. She's very different from how I originally imagined, but that's just how the game is played out.
It's true. No, excuse me. No character survives the first couple sessions completely the same. I know I rewrote, I'm actually still kind of in the process of rectifying backstory Sabina with like the way Sabina turned out in the first couple sessions we've played.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Dear the Kami, please let us continue that game.
Oh, man. Please.
But, I don't know. Steve, did you want to mention anything about a noir game, all that stuff before we jump, maybe to a game where all three of us have made characters together?
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
True. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do want to comment on mine because mine was a little bit weird of a situation. And that was that, like, I didn't really choose, like what type of story I wanted to have for the character and then like build a character for it. It's actually a character that I had built before and designed for your first, noir game.
Yeah, I think Monster has one of those for Noir Game 3, but
I'm actually up to like, I think two, maybe three characters for Noir Game 3, and it's a problem.
It's all right. If we go back to, our three soldier format with, Monster Steve Trong, we might be able to, after I get through two, if like, cause I know Nick isn't a fan of, the current system, though we may have to change it. Who knows? If we go back to that, I might be able to do, just X amount more. Although we'd have to finish Viking game, which is not going to be the shortest of games. So
I thought you were going to say it was going to be short, and I was like, Kevin.
No.
Are you sure?
I do think it is a three soldier game. So I'm like, it's not going to be short, but we might end up playing that bad boy like weekly, you know, straight for like 6 months and get in like,
oh wow, you okay. know,
like 30 episodes or something. Like we did with the first Silent Spiral, where that was yep. really short amount of like actual time, but like gameplay time closer to like one of my longer series, you know?
Yeah. I was going to say, I think that was another one of the things that I really loved about the noir game was just, we played consistently. What was like every Wednesday,
Wednesday or Thursday. Yeah. yeah.
What a delight.
I think that's like kind of ideal. And I'm kind of hoping we can like maybe arrange something like that for Viking game.
Fingers so, crossed, baby.
Yeah. I definitely know, you know, it is about who you play with as well. We've said this before.
Definitely.
I guess we can also speak to our characters for the Commies game, Burning Sands game, where
Before we do that, I still want to hear Steve's input. Like, what was your creation process for your shapeshifter?
So... I wanted to play the character that I played in the second Silent Spiral game originally instead of my detective, but I thought the detective would be more interesting, so I played him first, and I was like, I'll save the other character for something else, which he's essentially an artificer shapeshifter. Spoiler. and I was like, I kind of designed him to be like a con man and like picked like certain things. So it was like, I think the artificer that I took was Alchemist, which they have the ability to basically, if they have like a set amount of time, they can turn like one set of tools into anything else, I think. So you can just like be like, oh, well, I need to disguise myself as a chef. So here, let me just change my tools into some chef's tools. And now I'm using that. And then, nope, I need to, you know, pick some locks. Okay, thieves tools now. And so I had like a mechanically like a character that I wanted to play, but I didn't know like what type of story. And then when Kevin like pitched what are the treasury agents as a theme? Yeah, he recommended To Live and Die in L.A. And I watched that and I was like, I totally want to make plates.
Wow,
I'm gonna be an alchemist. I'm gonna be the ink guy.
So would you say that you were initially inspired by just like one little like feature of the artificer class, and it just sort of evolved from there?
I guess so, yeah. Just like the idea of, because like I don't necessarily like I do like OP stuff if I can find it sometimes. Depending on how OP is. I feel like if it's really OP and it like just will break the game, then I absolutely freaking hate it. But I could be a shapeshifter and then be able to like design any tools so I can look like anybody and I can have any tool. And then one of the things you can get as artificer is, I forget what they're called, but you like can make magic items out of normal items.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things you can make is a shift weave. So you can make clothes that change shape. So I can literally change everything about the character in an instant and be able to use any set of tools and just be like, okay, boom, I'm this guy now. And so I kind of wanted to be the secret spy character originally. But then when I saw the To Live and Die in LA, I was like, oh, I could just, you know, I'm an alchemist. I could be the guy that like makes the special ink that allow the plates to be used, and be, you know, like a criminal guy. And so that kind of, yeah. But I guess it was just like the ability of the character to just like be anybody, like, is what was appealing to me mechanically for that character.
That's sick. I love it. Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, To Live and Die in LA, not a happy movie, but a great movie.
yeah.
Excuse me.
No worries.
Thank you.
So, yeah, so I think definitely a little bit different there, like going story first, which I think is a little bit more my method sometimes, I guess. But yeah, versus kind of sort of mechanics and then getting a little influenced by story. Like, I think they're both really valid approaches, you know?
I definitely feel like I'm one of the latter, where I'll find a mechanic that I like and be like, okay, how can I build on this? Can I make a whole character out of this? this is kind of a tangent, kind of not. I think I mentioned this in the before part, or in our just chatting before recording. I saw the new Puss in Boots movie, and there is a character that personifies death, essentially, or is death, and they use two little hand sickles, and I've been trying to figure out what kind of character could I make that does two-weapon fighting, and two-weapon fighting isn't great, if you know the mechanics of D&D, Well, it can be like strong at early levels, but later in the game, it becomes outclassed by pretty much everything. But at the same time, I don't care. I really like the aesthetic of the character, and if you watch the movie, maybe you'll get it. I don't know. But two-weapon fighting, that became kind of my hyperfixation, and that is just a mechanic that I like this character that did it, and now I'm going to try and make my own character that also does it. And that's how it went. And I'm like, oh, mechanics, I love that.
Fair enough. I mean, I think, I don't know. We'll see. I'm back on my fixing, tinkering with. I don't know what I'm even doing anymore with my homebrew system. Mm-hmm. So maybe that'll be a place you could, you know.
Oh, please.
See how it works.
Oh, I'll do it. You know I will.
Oh, I know.
I'll play test the crap out of it, baby. Let's go.
But yeah. No, I think that's also fair. Because I think ultimately, if you're doing it right, it should be a synergy of both, right? You can't just make a ridiculous... I mean, I guess you can just make a ridiculous character and slot them into someone's game, but they end up like... You know that weird thing where you're first in the game and you're like, hopefully you've gotten like a... You've read a thing, you kind of like have a little bit of a sense of the world, but you're still figuring out, and honestly, the GM's still figuring it out. And so you're kind of like, I don't know where this is gonna go. So you're playing it out.
Kind of in tandem with the GM.
Yeah, I think there are some people who just go in and want to be them.
Yeah. I'm gonna play myself in this setting.
And it's good
with a gun. Wow.
Yeah, usually a little weird, at least for me. So, I don't know.
You're not big on that self-insert or that Mary Sue life?
Yeah, but even then, I think they kind of have to bend to it. At least if the GM is, like, you know, good enough about it. And, like, you don't have to be a dick. Like, usually I'm like, I've definitely asked, like, how do you know that? Like, oh, interesting. Like, why are you making that decision? You know?
Oh, okay.
You don't have to be the biggest dick about it. But I do think even that person will eventually have to kind of come to terms. Unless you're really board gaming.
wasn't there an episode? Is that Power Gaming? Is that Power Gaming?
I think that is Power Gaming.
Didn't you guys just have an episode about that?
Not just.
Oh, you're falling into the pit of, that was recently. Oh, no, that was weeks ago.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. I didn't see it in my first little look through of all our episodes lined up. But
I know... just because Steve got sick, but I was just saying, I think that one was came out when we're recording like 2 weeks ago or so. I'm just saying.
I mean, I think we might have brought it up when we were talking about Evil Campaigns, episode 118.
Wow.
But
just, you know, other things to reference. You know, go listen to them, listener.
Thank you.
We don't need plug like every episode. But I'm just like, go, you little shenanigans.
Remember to like and subscribe and comment down below and.
Oh, man. And we could do with some more emails, rimperfection@gmail.com. But
let's go. Send your grievances to Kevin.
It's true. I will tell you why your idea is terrible. No, I'm just, that was a joke. I won't only do that. Constructive criticism.
That was to say, Kevin could be pretty constructive. And I'm like, oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah. I could also burn things to the ground. So.
Uh-oh.
Wow. Aggressive.
I mean, it's true, but. I don't always do that.
I appreciate that about you. Anyway.
So, yeah. I don't know. Did we want to talk about Burning Sands? Actually, technically, there's an extra episode that I have no idea. I don't think we're ever going to release it. That Steve and I recorded about when we were creating our Burning Sands characters.
I thought we did release that. You're like, oh, yeah, we didn't do that, did we?
Never released that episode.
And did I even edit that? Maybe it was that I just didn't edit it. It's my fault. Oops.
I mean, I think it was a little bit of a rough episode. I don't know that I even want it to.
It was long, too, wasn't it?
It was long, yeah. It was early days. Like.
Yeah, it was over an hour, I'm pretty sure. Or like it edited, it would have been over an hour.
Yeah. Do I even have like an appropriate way to judge when this one was recorded? I don't think I do. I think it was early. It was like first season early.
I was going to say, I would assume this was a while ago because it's been a while since we played that game.
True. Burning Sands, it's a setting where it's like sort of...
Arabian Nights?
It's Arabian Nights, but the desert and like India sort of China, sort of, you know, Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia.
Roman Empire, sort of.
Roman Empire is over there, like off to the side,
mm-hmm.
looking.
Menacingly.
So we basically got that, and we didn't really get much else, which I think is a little bit unusual. Usually, like with the noir game, I try to be like, okay, I'm going to show you guys some stuff. I'm going to give you guys some reading stuff to do. I'm going to explain the setting. We're going to have a couple rounds of like talking about it. Not the case with this game.
Nope, not at all.
So we were basically like, here's the books. And we're all like, okay. And I don't know about you guys, the books did not say that much.
I think that might be why I enjoyed the game so much, because like, again, what I was just talking about with my two-weapon fighting, like, ideas, it was my new hyperfixation, and I hyperfixated on the lore, and it's amazing how many wikis are out there in the world, but they will tell you a lot of things, and I did, oh my god. I think that might have been, like, when I was unemployed, so I would stay up to, like, 2 a.m. just reading wikis, be like, who is this person? How are they tied into, like, this main storyline? Okay, wow, that's neat. Okay, cool. Well, I'm not going to reference any of these characters, but it just gave me a better idea of how the world was. And I know how the Kami operates based on like the previous Five Rings.
Legend of the Five Rings games.
Five Rings games that we've done, that he'll find like the main storyline and that'll be what's happening in the world, but he'll have kind of like little side stories based off of it. And so I made the assumption that's what he's going to do again. And spoiler alert, that is what he did. And I had a blast, but I also understand that it's unreasonable to expect your characters to do what I do. Just be like, oh, I've got to create a character for this game. I should research everything about it ever. Not everybody has that much time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to say,
go ahead, Steve.
Oh, okay.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I kind of approached both games the same for L5R and Burning Sands, and that's that. Like, going into L5R, I knew nothing about the setting at all. Like, absolutely nothing. He like, described to me what each of the clans were, and I was like, oh, I'm going to be a lion because there's Matsu. And, like, that sounds cool. So, okay. I'll do that. And it's like, oh, the females are, like, the ones that have the, you know, are, like, the strong ones in that clan. Well, then I'll be a dude. So that's kind of what I chose, and I just kind of went into it blind, and I learned about the game through the DM, like, explaining things. And then in Burning Sands, I was going to try and read it. Like, he's like, oh, I recommend you like read this stuff. And I honestly just couldn't get into the written material in the book. Like, it didn't interest me, and I just couldn't read it.
I feel your pain.
Totally yeah. Fair. It's not nearly as,
robust.
That's a perfect word. As robust as like the L5R universe is. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we were playing, I was like, oh, okay, you know, like, it'll be fine. Like, it'll be the same type of thing. Like, he'll like basically explain it through role playing and stuff like that. And I feel like he was trying to, but it felt like he was throwing so many NPCs at us compared to before that I was just super lost. So I was constantly like, who are we talking to again? Who's this person? I don't understand. Like, they sound very similar to me than the other character.
Yeah, I do feel a little bad because lately the commies thing has been he only wants to run in person now, which I get it.
Oh, yeah.
Distance is a different challenge. Mm-hmm. I have had the fun of experiencing it both for play and for work. But no, I definitely feel you. I think he's a little rusty because I felt more on rails, and I was trying to figure out, like, is this how it always has been? And now I just know more because it's true. Back when we were first playing was right after we cut with GMX, and I was just first becoming a GM and like figuring shit out.
That's true. We started at a really low bar.
Yeah. And I'll say he's definitely always overcome that. But yeah, I don't know. There are a lot of NPCs. There's a lot going on.
We only played Burning Sands and online. Like, I can't think if this is true or not, but I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of his characters stood out more in person, if, because like I can't remember if he does, if the Kami does like body language, the characters or not. He does. Yeah. So that might be why they're more like easily distinguishable in person than compared to online, because you lose that aspect of like how the person looks at you and stuff like that. He's a very expressive person. Yeah. I just can't remember how he played his characters in person. So I can see that.
Yeah, I definitely feel you. I also could not get with, he was like, oh yeah, read this and this. And I was like, this is very unsatisfying. I'm going to do my normal thing when I find things very unsatisfying, which is make up my own stuff.
Be like, how can I make this better?
It could be that you've been spoiled by, you know, different roleplay methods since then. And so, you're just more accustomed to more social interaction and more decisions on your characters. Like, because like Burning Sands and L5R, like you're a part of like an organization usually, and you have some like restrictions on what you can and cannot do.
Yeah, you're essentially part of the guild.
Yeah, and you, well, you weren't with your organization anymore. You were in a place where they basically like would tell you what to do because you're from an evil organization or clan. I don't know what you'd call them. Nation. They called
in
you
L5R
a witch.
Or Burning Sands. Oh, in L5R or Burning Sands.
Oh, Burning Sands. I was referring to.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, they're much less cooperative. Like in L5R, everyone hates each other. That's not entirely true, but they kind of do. But they're also like still like the same team. Like they're not just gonna let the Shadowlands invade. Now the Shadowlands might invade while like the Lion are being stupid and the Crane are telling them that they're being stupid. But this is not slanted coverage at all.
Okay, he's stupid birds.
But these are like distinct entities in Burning Sands. And I do think the Kami was like grappling with that a little bit. But I kind of picked Romans because I was like, I feel like they're kind of the least developed. Like there were no emperor names for me. I had to make up my own.
Really? There wasn't? Oh man. Wow. Missed opportunity. Whew. Again. Not as robust as L5R. Oh man.
Yeah,
wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. So like, there's a lot of lore for all of you, and mine were just like, I don't know, they just showed up, they're looking to conquer, and I'm like, that's kind of lame. I know the Kami, we had played a session of it like a million years ago, and he'd already told us he's going to include those characters, and I was like, okay, so M's character is definitely going to be there, and M's character was our Robin character for last time, and naturally, what was he trying to do, everybody?
Betray the party?
The party.
What a twist!
Wow! Huh.
What's that Squidward meme? Feeling daring today, aren't we?
My idea was, I'm going to make an M character. And I'm going to make an M character who has a big fall. And essentially, at the point of everyone meeting that character, they're at like a very like low point. Which is true, because what was I when y'all found me?
You seemed like you were basically homeless or like a slave.
Yeah.
I was an escaped slave. Technically, still am. So I had this character who used to be important. And then she got backstabbed and left in the desert and captured by slavers. And not only did I have that, but I also threw away, like, because the big thing about the Romans is that they're, like, immune to magic. And I was like, ha, F that.
I'm going to throw that away. Disadvantage or whatever that you lose that or something.
Yeah. I was like, I'm tossing that away as part of, like, a curse.
Emphasizing the imperfection. Wowee.
Yeah. It was quite the thing. And so, like, I was essentially balancing a character who was, like, kind of raw but also really really like open, like this is a whole new place, I can't go back. Like Sabina's basically like, I can't go back, there is nothing for me there, holy shit. Like
be like, I need to integrate myself into this weird new society, oh boy.
Yeah. And then essentially we went on the, like, because of like the former slavery backstory and like having experienced like the positive benefits of slavery, spoilers, back in, you know, the Roman Empire, because it was the Roman Empire. Spoilers about the Roman Empire. But
spoilers.
Yeah. But now she's like, oh no, that was bullshit. Like, so my entire, so she's like, my entire life's a lie, essentially. And so that was really interesting. And then, yeah, I think that's where I was. And then I kind of had to feel out her personality, which is a little, I'm going to be real, real with you. I'd planned aggressive. And I think she's even a little bit more aggressive than that in a lot of ways. I don't know if you guys feel that way, but so I'm kind of going back and trying to have to kind of reconcile all that. But yeah,
I feel like Hazim, my character, was always on your good side, more or less. So I don't know if I necessarily ever saw you seem that threatening. I think in my character's mind, you were just very capable. And he was into that because he also had to be very capable. Oh, man. Whew. Our characters are more similar than you realize. Like, my character in his backstory also had a big fall, but kind of like clawed his way back up from it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, your characters met Sabina at like her lowest point. Mm-hmm. Well, no, her slightly above her lowest point. Her lowest point would have been captured by slavers in the middle of the desert.
Yeah, that's
after getting backstabbed.
That's a low bar to get over.
It's a really low bar. But
I have one of those characters.
Which one? Steve, do you want to talk about it as a transition?
As a transition? Well, maybe not, because that's not known to the other party in that game.
Oh, then never mind. Yeah. That's the other tough part about this podcast is like, we can't say everything. Like, I'm sure we all gave somewhat condensed versions of our Burning Sands characters' backstories. I know I did.
Actually, who listens to this this podcast in our group actively? Monster and Trong.
Monster and Trong.
I think that's about
No, it's fine. I'm okay with you guys doing it. So, like, my character in Lian Noir was captured by slavers in the desert and was a slave for a good portion of time.
Oh, dang. Wow.
That's true. I knew that, but I'm the GM in that game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so of course he would know.
We'll see if that survives, because we are rebooting that game.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, like, rethink that character. As I've mentioned before, that character, like, I wanted to do so much for that character. I was like, oh, there's so many cool things I could do, and I just couldn't decide anything. And I was like, I'm going to do them all, and that doesn't work.
Well, that, and you had, like, a long absence, and I don't know, that game just...
I did have a long absence because of work, yeah.
That game just got away from me, too. Speaking of games that, like, that game's kind of, like, a mess I can't fix. Like, reboot, we're going to do the stuff. I don't know, Monster, how much you remember of me talking about shit that we never fucking did before that game started. Oof. But I want to go back to some of that.
Sick. I just it was a while ago, and I remember we had a lot of lofty goals, and then yes indeed.
And that's another thing that's like, I don't know, it's partially players dropping out, it's partially my fault, it's partially just, you know, work.
Are we gonna have
shit
to fight a giant turkey again?
No.
Thank you.
I am that was so silly. No, I am gonna give the opportunity for people to change characters in that game too. I'm gonna the things we concretely played, some of the events are gonna happen, but a lot of the events are going to be like very different. Like the first one, I had a devil in White City, started at the World's Fair in 1893, and they encountered the serial killer who was at that World's Fair and turned out being a demon and like tried to, you know, capture the players in a House of Horrors. And so, like, the House of Horrors is still going to be there, but my idea is essentially going to be to change anything. And I think that's good for a reboot, by the way, if anyone ever has an idea that doesn't work out and then you have some players coming back. I think taking the general concept and general feel that they like, but just changing, like, some key elements, you know, this isn't going to shake down the way you thought, you know. It's sort of like rerunning, like if a character knows like a really popular game, you're like, okay, we're going to do Star Wars Episode 4, but it's not going to go down the same. Han Solo is going to be different. Obi-Wan's going to be different. Darth Vader's going to be different. So
the game takes place on Alderaan. Uh-oh.
And then, uh-oh, you know, maybe one of the big twists is Dantooine gets destroyed. Whoa. Or something instead of Alderaan.
But rebels were on Dantooine. Oh no.
Hit him with that reverse Uno card. Oh baby.
I mean, yeah, it's, I mean, it's that kind of stuff you've got to do. And I don't think I'm going to go, I mean, my plan is to have it very different from the, well, it's going to start very the same, but by like the end of the first session, I think everyone's going to know it's going to be different. So.
Okay. Can't wait for that. And to adjust my character accordingly. Ooh, ah, ha, ooh, ha, ha, ha.
True. I mean, there's just going to be stuff that's going to change because I'm adjusting the system again. So that can happen as well. Because I think characters do end up being at least a little bit kind of adjusted to the system, which is why I'm having so much trouble. Like, I planned Viking Game in 5th edition, and now I'm like, oh, I don't want to change, but I might, you know?
Very fair. Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll have a talk off air, John.
Yeah. Please and thank you. My character's based on 5th edition. Help!
Yeah, no. The game is based on 5th edition. Yeah. Spoilers. Yeah. I have a certain amount of stuff I've already planned. A lot of it's kind of based on 5th edition. Not that I can't change it, but it will take effort. So,
Yeah. When you've already done a bit of work, be like, well, I don't want to get rid of all.
Yep. I have a doc and I look at it. And after all this stuff came out, I was like, now the doc makes me sad. But did we want to touch on any other characters? I mean, I guess I should do the shout out that I should have done at the start, but we're in just full convo mode, everybody. We're spontaneous, we're reacting.
We're a react channel now.
We're being extemporaneous.
Just, we are. Yeah. We are indeed.
Gotta throw those big words out there. Just like gesticulate.
It's true. I think I used attenuate last episode and I was like, oof, okay. I need to calm down a little bit.
I can't wait to masticate after this.
Wow. True. Same.
We talked with Monster for quite a while already about his character Largo. So I did want to mention to, if you're new here, go back and check out episode 79. Oh God, I thought that was worse.
Wow. Was it that long ago? Jeez.
It was just a little while ago. 50 episodes ago.
Oh, jeez.
It's been a long time since he's been Little Cargo.
Little Cargo, my
boy. Well, it's been since super long since that. But
I know.
So yeah, we don't really need to talk about that. And we've talked plenty about Rios too from that game.
True.
But is there any others? I don't know. Did Monster and I want to put Steve in the GM chair and talk about any of our characters from his games?
Oh yeah, that's true.
Ooh, that might be a good one. Oh man, I am actually genuinely curious, like, what was the starting point for your character in Steve's game, whose name I'm like, Charlotte?
It was Charlotte, Charlotte?
Right? Yeah.
Oh man, I'm sorry, I feel like I might have been the one to push Steve more cyberpunk. That's a game that definitely Steve was like, magical girl game with like a space setting, and then it became very cyberpunk, and I know Nick has expressed concern.
yep.
And I think it might be my fault. Charlotte. So Charlotte originally spawned out of, because Steve pitched the idea that we were going to do a magical girl game, and I was like, cool. And at that point, we were like, okay. And then he described the three. Do you want to just do a quick run over of the system, Steve?
Okay, like, yeah, sure. So it's a BESM game, which is an acronym for Big Eyes Small Mouth, which is an anime game that is based on D6s. And you just have, I think their whole spiels, they have like a patented tri-stat system, as if it's like something super special, but it's just a three stat system. And the setting is essentially, it's like super far future, and humans have started to like venture out into space and eventually came across an old planet called Vutal that they have found something on, mysterious. And so the people that basically took over the planet, isolated themselves, and they were very secretive to who they let in and who they let out. And eventually they started selling materials that they were building on that planet, which allowed people to use magic, and they called them activators. And they were spread all over the galaxy. They became a major portion of like industry in the universe. And then all of a sudden the planet just like, whoop, it just like vaporizes and like disappears and into nothingness, and it's just like it's gone. Not like, oh, there's like crumbs everywhere and it like blew up. Like it's just, it's gone. It just doesn't exist anymore. Almost yeah, like it got teleported or something.
I have thoughts about that, but
so planet's gone. Now there's no one who knows how to make these things. Everything goes into chaos. It results in a large war of people fighting over these now limited resources of these magic activators.
And they're like archaeological artifacts now, essentially.
Basically, yeah. Yeah. So like one of a kind, and you can't make them anymore. And so huge war sparks, but eventually people figure out how to like make them, but they just don't really understand how the technology works in function. They're just able to replicate it. And then they start finding like leftovers of the civilization, like all over the universe. So they start finding like pieces of Vutal, as if the planet exploded and pieces went everywhere, but there's no signs of it ever exploding. So, you know, mysterious. And so it's all about kind of like gathering these relics and finding them. But the setting that I put the players in was a lot of them have either a character they want to bring back from the dead or someone they want to keep dead in some cases.
Or they're just a delicate
snowflake.
Yeah. Huh? And also there's two other kinds of magic. One is dust, which is essentially using ground up magic powder as a drug. Also, you can put it into a gun or something and like fire cool magic, but yes. It's mostly drugs.
Final Fantasy Unlimited, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Which is not the greatest of shows, but you should at least look up some GIFs.
That's what I took inspiration from, was basically the visuals. And I was like, I'm going to take that.
And then there's also is it Avatar Magic? Yeah.
Avatar Magic. Yeah, that's the one you use.
Yeah, not the blue people.
No.
It's essentially you like embody a mythical character to like power up and like semi-transform into them. And that's the one I picked. So I was super into that. And I was like, oh man, that's so cool. And you also set up that there were like these corporations that were like controlling everything.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And so naturally, I had a character, Charlotte. She's brought up as a maid in like a great house. But she's, you know, the corporation's head's son is a jerk, and so bad shit happened and she ran away, teamed up with these people, got them all killed.
Oopsie,
long
oopsie.
Story. Yeah. So that's who she wants to bring back. She's like, well, I guess it's technically three people now because one of them lived, shockingly.
Wow.
Yeah. And then but my process was that I heard that I like the Avatar. So I was like, okay. And Steve was like, okay, you need to have a master. So I was like, okay, cool. So I made a cool master, Cervantes, who is a badass. And I made an enemy, the corporation owner's son, Lucas, who is a jerk.
He's a big jerk. Yep.
And they're both Avatar users. So I put that out there because it's kind of rare. I'm the only one of our group who uses it.
Yep.
And basically, Charlotte kind of came out of me wanting to do a little bit more of like a cyberpunk thief. So after she left, she kind of like got with a group and kind of became like a hacker slash thief. And yeah, she has the trauma, the double trauma of both kind of coming from like an abusive place and then losing everyone she loved. And so... yeah, I don't know. I guess I like characters who start off in states of trauma and have to get better.
Your favorite flavor is emotional damage. Jeez, let's go.
True. I don't know. Maybe I've watched Strange Days too many times. But yeah, so that's kind of where Charlotte came from. And I love like mythology, so I had like a great freaking time picking my three and making them weird mythological as possible. Like the most normal one is my like goddess of the stars, who uses like a bow and like has like bright light, you know, stun magic essentially. And then I have my weird ass eels and darkness, little based on like a Hawaiian goddess. And then I have my other one, who is bad, real bad. And you know,
that's a lot of sword, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the one with the sword. yeah. There's a sword that has appeared a few times. What the sword is not good.
It's bad. It's real bad.
It's,
you need to make it appear again.
No, stop it. We have enough problems.
There are ways to get Charlotte to use the sword. The problem is Charlotte kind of knows it's bad. I mean, it's related to the death question mark of her last crew. So, yeah, it's the one that kind of got away from her, basically. So when she was training these three forms, it got away. And I don't know, it just combined a bunch of stuff that I really loved into just one thing. And the setting was a little bit more vague. It was more of like, admittedly, MySpace setting is also like, kind of do whatever. I don't know. It just has to be space themed.
That's space. So. Now we can have some magic / science. Okay, cool. We did it.
So yeah, that one I was kind of taking the concepts and like running with it. And then I looked at the rules and was like, oh shoot, how am I going to make this make sense? So yeah, that was kind of my process there. Very much a like, oh, that's a really cool idea, Steve. I wonder how much I can make this ridiculous.
No, it's fine. I kind of left it open for you guys to like interpret things as you wanted. And I got like I started with four players, four very different characters. Although I would say that you and Monster both have more cyberpunky characters than the other two.
Yes.
True. Well, I don't know. Trong has a pretty...
Trong's fits very well into my setting. I think Nyx was the... I was like, okay, I'm reading your backstory. Wow, this is very different.
Cave planet.
It's definitely anime, I'll tell you that much.
Yep.
Fair, fair. Yeah, what about... Because I think I know, and I think it's a lot shorter than mine.
you, I have a feeling you're right. Because I was about to say, yeah, my character design process was very simple for Geist. As I think has been mentioned once or twice, I play a game called Destiny a lot, and that has a particular aesthetic. So I was like, okay. And one of the class I play primarily also has a particular kind of aesthetic instead of skills. And I was like, I bet I could make a character like that for this game. And I started looking through the powers, and I just sort of focused on two specifics that seemed very in theme for the Hunter class from Destiny. And yep, just went from there. And I was like, I could use an activator. It'll be a gun. And yep. Though, in my defense, I will say I feel like I sort of leaned heavier into sort of the lore that Steve provided us. Because I... a part of essentially like the National Guard, but like space edition, like a bounty hunter sort of guild as well. And I'm tied, though I did sort of make up like the mafia group, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, but I still kind of like leaned into like the Vutal technology, or at least I tried to.
Yeah,
you absolutely did.
Yeah, I'm very disconnected from that.
Yeah. I was like, oh,
well,
Steve,
the organization you came from, Kevin, is. Like, they've essentially, like, figured out how, like, magic works to some degree without needing an activator. So they don't really need relics. They've also, like, they're, like, old money. So they have a lot of relics. So it's not like they'd want to, like, go around and just, like, find a bunch of random junk. They want, you know, like, the good stuff. So
yeah,
you had, like, a different place that you came from. You kind of came from, like, a utopia. Whereas, like, Monster came from, like, a place of, like, desperation and, like, scrounging and stuff like that. So.
I mean, to be fair, I came from a dystopia, but
wow.
Oh yeah. I just meant like where you grew up at as a child.
Oh yeah, relatively idyllic, I'm sure, compared to whatever happened to your brother. Jeez.
My parents died.
My parents are still alive.
Must be nice. Jeez.
I can never see them again.
Oh, that's arguably worse.
Oof. That's not. That might not be entirely true, but it is somewhat true. Let's just say there would be hurdles, significant hurdles. Also a man trying to capture me. So
what if I shoot that man?
Oh, I would. Yeah, that would get you on Charlotte's good side.
Nope, nope.
Good luck shooting that man, though. There are a lot of I just imagine him just sack pawning everyone. Yeah, sacrificial pawn is a thing from freaking War Machine back when we all used to war game together, where it's basically, oh, you're nearby, minion, grab minion, grab hold minion. Them up, and let minion like get shot to death.
Yep.
Eats cannonball. Wow.
Yeah.
They took that like a champ. Great job, Ludum.
Tosses them away. Yeah, it's It's a rough life. But yeah. I think that is definitely two different ways of looking at, because once again, you went rules first. Well, no, you went aesthetics first.
I went aesthetics first, and then I was like, okay, yeah. Mechanics, let's see what we got here. Okay, I think I can make this work and this work, and built a character off of that, and it's like, okay, now I just need to sprinkle in a little emotional damage, and bam, there we go.
Yeah, versus me being lore first on that one. Mm-hmm. That's weird. Lore first and rules last. Usually lore and rules go together, mm-hmm. I think, so. Yeah.
Well, this is a homebrew system that we're working with. Well, to a degree.
To a degree, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, I'm not using, like, a predefined, like, lore. It was stuff that I wrote, like, pretty much from scratch. I mean, it did take inspiration from a lot of things, obviously. Like, the three different magic types are essentially, like, if you're familiar with anime, it's from, like, Nanoha, Fate, Prism, Khalid, Liner. That's a weird freaking name. And Final Fantasy Unlimited.
That sure is so. An anime. Hoo-wee.
Yeah.
Oh, anime titles.
Yeah, anime titles.
But yeah, did we want to mention any others? Any that stand out, I guess?
Maybe, like, our general approach? Because we talked about, like, a lot of individual characters, but maybe, like our individual style of approaches?
Okay. I feel like I'm very much the person... Oh, and I guess I forgot to mention this with Sabana. I, like, listen to several podcasts on Roman history and mythology.
Oh, neat.
I almost happened to
go over that in coincidence, and you're like, oh, I'll use this.
I mean, I kind of had it already. I mean, I was doing that alongside our Greek game, Theros. So they were kind of hand in hand. Yeah. And very much, I do definitely take the philosophy of, I'm a GM, I'm used to creating worlds, so I will create a world for my character in someone else's game, which is better or worse. As I mentioned, I somewhat feel like, I don't know, maybe it was both Monster and I, but I feel like somewhat responsible for pushing the cyberpunk.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I very much think I'm like, okay, that's a cool idea, let me... go down this deep well of ideas and pick my favorites and then synthesize them and then see if this even works. And if I need to start from the drafting process again, I have no problem with that. I will put the idea aside and wait. Mostly for an NPC, honestly. They usually just become NPCs in my games. So, yeah, that is kind of my approach. I will say I do look at stuff, like, especially with, like, a more rules-heavy format, like D&D. I definitely do take a look at the rules and, like, kind of feel out what I can do, what lore, what ideas I have that match with whatever's in the game versus with something like Kids on Bikes that I'd probably just be a lot more open with. So, but yeah, how about you? You will.
No, I guess I'll go. I just kind of usually pick, like, something that interests me, and it's not always the same thing. Sometimes it's mechanics. Sometimes I'm just like, man, I really want to play a rogue warlock, or I want to play, you know, this class combination. And other times it's like, oh, I have this, like, idea of, you know, what I want to do story-wise. Like, Evan's like, oh, hey, we're going to play this game. It's called Penance. You get to, like, make how your character lives in this dire situation where it's, like, ruled by monsters the size of Godzilla everywhere, and you're basically... food for them. Like, how do you survive as a tribe in a like horrible situation? It's like, oh, cool, I've got this whole thing where I, like, live on a mountaintop with dragons, and we, like, hunt the eldest dragon and take its heart, and we, like, worship it for a year, and then we, like, travel some distant land and, like, turn it into oil and then burn it for 20 years to emulate the heart of a dragon, so people or the other dragons won't bother us. We do that every 20 years, and, you know, it's like a whole ritual thing we do. And it'd be cool. Oh, now I got to figure out how I'm going to build this character. You know, like, I'm kind of, like, all over the place. But
I like that cool lore, though. I'm just like, ooh, cool lore.
Yeah, it just really depends. I just take whatever, like, calls out to me in that moment, and I latch onto it, and I try and, like, build off of that. So I guess I just pick whatever sounds the most fun in simple terms. I don't know.
Totally fair. I feel like I'm kind of the third person who goes mechanics first. I'll find, like, a cool mechanic that I like. I'm just sort of like, oh, they get to, like, a free teleport after they throw a knife. That's sick as heck. Can I make a character around this? And then I'll get ideas for why would the character have this skill? How would they use it? And okay, what? Now I just need to find a world to put them in. Okay, how would they use this skill and why would they use it in this world? And that just sort of like, it starts off with like a little drop in a pond and then the ripples just eventually become waves. And I've got a whole slew of characters where this happened. Or someone will, I'll read like a prompt idea and be like, what would I do in that situation? Huh, okay, let's see. Or I am also very guilty of finding a character that I like and trying to basically co-opt specific parts or the whole damn thing and just running with it. Be like, what would this character from this show, anime, game, what would they be like in, say, like, using D&D? Let's see, what can I figure out? Let's go.
How many Dante characters do you have?
not that many, surprisingly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't really see that a lot.
I feel like Largo was... Well, actually, no, this is probably... Oh, man, whew. Now I'm taking...
Putting Dante, him on the spot.
Dante probably does get... I'm assuming you mean Dante from Devil May Cry, just so
yes.
We're clear for the listeners.
No, the writer.
Oh, wow. The one with the Inferno? Let's go.
Yeah, Dante Alighieri. Wow. Anyway, no, go ahead.
But yeah, a little sassy Dante probably has been sprinkled into several characters. I would say Largo, absolutely, but not as much, but probably more so in Arcoda, at least aesthetic and build-wise, like mechanics-wise. Not necessarily character or personality, but...
I don't know, the like straight going out after and just like,
oh yeah,
hustling. I see a little bit of that.
Yeah, like I've got a few characters that are always just like in the back of my mind and be like, oh boy, I like this character and this part of them. Dante from Devil May Cry, Soul Bad Guy from the Guilty Gear series. pretty much the look and aesthetic for everything in Destiny. And I'm sure there's a cornucopia of anime characters that also live in my head rent free that I'm just like, you. I like you. You keep doing that. So yeah, that's probably like my creative pool where what's just sort of swimming in it, and that definitely influences me heavily when I'm making a character. Enough.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I definitely think I'm guilty of being like, oh, I was just reading this, or oh, I was just reading that.
So, oh yeah, I do that too.
Or watching, or you know, whatever.
Find a character, and you're like, oh, I can absolutely transplant this character in a different situation, and they'd be still just as cool, if anything.
Yeah, I'm
maybe even
more
interesting.
Yeah, I'm usually more guilty of combining elements. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess that's a... I never am just doing one thing at a time. I'm like, you know, watching multiple movies, usually reading a couple of books. Recently, I've been listening to old-timey radio shows. so...
Wow, that's like Alpha Podcast. That's crazy.
I mean, you're not wrong.
It was just the casts. They didn't even have pods back then. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think I've mentioned on the show that I'm thinking about doing a Western thing, and I might be sending players episodes of Gunsmoke, the radio show, to help them with character stuff.
Oh,
so
man. I might have to send you that PDF that Trong bought me, just so you can look it over.
Okay, yeah. I mean,
if we're gonna do a Western, I know you may not necessarily need to or want to do it in like, but oh man, it's so cool.
Yeah, it'd probably be in my own system, but I'm happy to look at mechanics and
pull some ideas,
building some more in. Yeah, because I was like, oh man, my system is designed to be flexible, D10 success, but I was like thinking specifically about Western stuff, and I was like, that's almost a new challenge, like its own specific challenge.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of systems that do like Western stuff, and I know a lot of systems don't. I would say do firearms well.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But yeah.
You need to craft bullets. Damn it.
I think with mine, I mean, generally it's more of a keep track of specific types of bullets, and I just assume standard bullets are just something you're gonna kind of have. So
I would hope so.
Yeah. I also think it's definitely true. Yeah, I figured that. but yeah, I think that's good. Any last words, or shall we let Steve sign us off?
Oh yeah,
I feel like we've covered a lot of great wisdom, like lots of different ways where you can pull ideas to generate a character, or however you decide to create your new tune, pick something you like, and just build on it.
Yep, pretty much. I think you just need to find like what, like if you're not familiar with, like how to build a character, and you're just set with like taking inspiration from like what other people do, and you want to find your own way, I would probably just suggest, you know, like find something you like, whether it's a mechanic or it's a story element of the lore that was provided to you, or a character in another medium, or even just like the appearance of a character, you know, visually. You can find like art online of like cool stuff, like anything that you're just like, wow, this is really cool, I really like this, you know, take that as inspiration and see what you can do with it in what's given to you in the setting, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Hell yeah. More of the story.
Just find your own way.
Do what you like.
Yep.
What? Wait, what was that?
Do what you like.
Or in the verbiage of our podcast, Steve.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Hey. Remember to play what you love. And until next time, may your characters do something epic.
There we go.
Love to hear it. Let's go.
Thank you for listening. If you have any comments, questions, interjections, queries, notes, formal challenges, or suppositions, please email us at roimperfection@gmail.com. That's roimperfection@gmail.com. Or follow us on Twitter at roimperfection or Instagram search roimperfection. You can also visit our website at roimperfection.com. If you enjoyed our work, leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Have a great week, everybody. That sounded good enough, Steve.
It sounded horrible on my end, but I'm sure it's fine.
There's
Are you
one
sure
big,
we can redo it?
No, it's fine. We're doing it live.
Fuck it. We're making it really hard for Steve to line up. All right.
We got this all this bullshit in the beginning. All right, I'm clapping again. Okay.
But no, don't clap.
Wait, what? Wait, no, you left all stop. The old stuff in front.
Maybe.
Steve, why are you? Oh God, Misty, what are you doing up there?
What is happening? Oh, it's Friday the 13th. That's what's happening.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is the most chaotic opening I think I've ever heard.
She's on top of the bookshelf, and she's meowing at something. I don't fucking know.
We've got a Misty eruption, and we haven't even done the intro. My God.
And I just heard someone's phone.
Not mine.
I don't think it was me. Oh, it was me.
Oh, yep. I hear all.
I can't believe you heard that.
No,
God damn.
No phone, no lighter.
Oh, yeah, no lighter. Yeah, put that shit away.
And no...
No saying my name. Ta-da!
Yeah.
No, true. And no fucking... What was it? Like, popping champagne bottles and shit like Trunks.
I won't pop champagne bottles
and opening Digimon cards.
I will leave the Digimon cards on the floor where they belong.
He was like, what? No.
Not
like,
me.
Yeah, man. All over.
Like, you can hear that? It's like, yes, the entire time.
All right.